And we have a Brewers team that is no different than probably the last 4 weeks that we talked about.
Right.
Five games under 500, still no idea what to call them.
Right. Yeah, we're exactly where we were a week ago and about where we were 2 weeks ago as well. So, yeah.
Well, we're going to be as interactive as possible today, 281-1570 or 866-653-1570. If you'd like to call in, questions, Brewer-related, comments, things Brewer-wise you want to talk about, as we do with Kyle, JP going to hop in with the conversation as well. Email us, Cease Electronics Inbox, that is homestretch1570@gmail.com, or tweet at me, JH1570, tweet at Kyle, at Brew Crew Ball, and you can tweet at JP, too. How does somebody do that?
At JP Cadorn. I signed up early, man. I got my Twitter handle right away.
Did you?
Yeah.
You were one of the first.
Yeah, I didn't use it. I didn't know what to do with it, but I got it right away.
I don't think anybody knows what to do with their Twitter handle still.
We're still developing what to do.
That's all right. Brewer-wise, though, this last week, you know, you get the sweep against Kansas City, come back, take 2 out of 3 against Minnesota, third game the Brewers should have won, and Toronto, the same thing. You take 2 out of 3, but in all reality, it should have been 3 out of 3.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because this is the worst feeling 4-2 week I can remember in a long time. Like, looking back at it, when I ran up the candidates for Brewer of the Week today, which voting for that will open at 3 at Brew Crew Ball, I look back at the count and said, wow, really? 4-2? Because I did not feel that way. It's been a week where they've played some really good baseball at times, but nothing has ever been certain. You know, there have been very few days where a non-save situation is even held up. So it's been a lot of edge of your seat. How are they going to find a way to make this interesting baseball for the last week? It's been fun at times, but it's also been really frustrating for a week that actually turned out to be not that bad.
You know, I think the most disappointing thing is, too, what the last 5 losses have been taken by the bullpen.
Right.
And for a team last year that was, I mean, predicated on that bullpen, those final guys coming through and making it happen, that's probably the one thing about this week that is the most discouraging that you really look at, because, I mean, questions of Axford has come about, and they shouldn't. This needs to happen for another 3 straight weeks in order for, I think, start questioning Axford. And besides that, if you had somebody else you could throw in there, but, you know, I mean, there's nobody in that bullpen right now that's willing to take charge.
Yeah, I mean, think about how good Axford has been. For him finally to seem human, I think we don't know what to do. Because he's been so good up until this point. So I think that's what's alarming about it.
We do what we know, and which is go to the next guy. You know, Derek Turnbull falls off. You go to Francisco Cordero. Salomon Torres came in for Eric Gagne when he falls off. I think that's the way you lose, or you get 3 or 4 blown saves. And that's kind of been the Brewer way. But I don't think Milwaukee has seen the consistency in the back of that bullpen like they've had from Axford over a 2-year period where, you know, that would be a legitimate idea, a legitimate option.
Well, and what we're seeing right now is the challenge of being seen as a dominant closer, because John Axford last April really struggled for a few weeks, blew a few saves. We started to have the conversation about what do the Brewers do? Can they replace him? How can they keep him out of games? Then he runs off a streak of almost 50 consecutive saves, goes over a year without blowing one. Now he's blown 4 this season, and we're back to the same conversation. Does John Axford need to come out? You know, what can they do to keep him out of games? Really, you know, at the end of the day, he is still probably, well, he's certainly the best option they have at closer. He might be the best, one of the better options at closer in all of the National League. He's a guy who had a rough stretch. The last one was kind of explainable on a day when he showed up in the ballpark in the 5th inning after his wife gave birth and then somehow got inserted into the game. You know, I think at the end of the day, he'll still be all right. I'll feel better about saying that after he converts a couple saves again. But realistically, you know, days like this are going to happen. It's just bad that it's happening right now while this Brewer team has almost no margin for error.
Phone number is 281-1570. If you'd like to hop aboard Brewer Conversation, Brewer Comments, Questions with Kyle Loebner of Brew Crew Ball, JP Cadorn as well, our co-host today. It is your home stretch. I'll throw this question at you guys. I brought this up earlier in the week. I'll get your opinion. Brewer reliever right now, you are most confident with the baseball in their hand standing on the mound. Start with JP because he looks so confused.
I need thinking time, man.
you got one right away, Kyle?
Yeah, I do. I still feel best with Axford.
Yeah.
I think when you look at, you know, across the board, the ability to get outs, the ability to get strikeouts, get out of tough situations, I think Axford is still your number one, recent struggles aside. Like I said before, I'll feel a little better about that after he converts a couple saves and gets back into a rhythm. there are other guys out there that aren't terrible options, but if I need one out right
that
now...
That aren't terrible.
Well, right.
Oh, and that's not a state of the Brewers. I don't know what is.
Right. But if I needed one out right now and I could have one Brewer pitcher on the mound out of the bullpen, I'd take Axford.
I say Cameron Lowe just because I think over the last 365, he's been the most consistent. I think he's one of those guys that gets piled on whenever he does anything. His bad is terrible. Versus, you know, his good being okay.
Yeah, Lowe got so overworked at the start of last year.
Yeah,
everybody knows it. Yeah, I mean, I think it was like 2 weeks ago when a lot of the Brewers stuff started falling or continuing to fall that I said Axford is the guy that I'm the least worried about, and that's still the case. I mean, he if you want me to if you're asking who can get the cleanest inning, I probably wouldn't go Axford because he has a tendency to, you know, walk two guys, give up a base hit, and have bases loaded with nobody out. But I still have faith in him to get out of the jam.
Maybe we're going to LeVon Hernandez on that question in a couple weeks. More on that coming up. 281-1570. Let's go ahead and go to the phones and get this rolling. Who's up here on the score? Hello.
Hey, Justin, this is Charlie from Oshkosh.
Charlie, what's shaking today?
Good. I'm doing well, and... Kyle and JP, how you doing?
Excellent.
Great.
Good. I have a hard time talking about relief. To me, the biggest problem, and it's hard to be to look at the Brewers as a true contender when you have Dillard, Parra, and McClendon. I can't stand watching those three, and that's your middle relief.
It goes back to the days when you had Juden, De Los Santos, and Roque
exactly.
in the starting rotation. I mean, that's kind of what you feel. But
last year when they won the division, Parra was hurt, and Dillard came in later in the year to kind of fill in. And that, you know, they had Faito and they had Hawkins, and that's a major difference.
You know, you look at last year too, and you bring up the injuries before they got K-Rod. I mean, they were working with Axford. Lowe was the eighth inning guy. Hawkins
right.
and Saito were banged up, so they still had the Tim Dillards of the world, the Manny Parras of the world. Marco Estrada was in there. So name-wise, you know, I don't think it's too big of a difference. Last year at the end of the year, that was as good as it got when you had a healthy Saito, when you had a healthy Hawkins.
Right.
I mean, you had five legitimate relief pitchers. Right now you have, you know, let's say three legitimate guys if you want to count, you know, K-Rod, Varus, and Lowe for an equal two, and one legitimate guy in Axford. And outside of that, you're just bringing up AAA guys.
But I think that's not a problem that's unique to this Brewer team. I think almost every team, if you're bringing in the sixth or seventh guy in your bullpen, you are not confident he's going to pitch you a clean inning. I think Manny Parra gets a little bit underrated largely because he has a strong potential to pitch a clean inning and get out of there. But the first time a runner gets on, you take a deep breath because you might be in for trouble. And it happened the other day. It happened Tuesday night. He got the first two outs in his inning, and then all of a sudden he needed about 20 more pitches to get out of it after he walked one guy.
It's not mentally tough.
It's history. I mean, with Parra, too, it's history. I think everybody's waiting for more from Parra, too. It's the Cameron Lowe thing. History serves, and you can't get history out of your mind. You can't do it when you accurately try to judge a player.
And also think about, if we're talking about them contending and at the end of the year, Parra is probably the only guy out of the three that you mentioned that's still going to be on the roster. With Hernandez coming in, we assume he's going to go to the bullpen, I would say, right? So he'll, you know, Mike McClendon is not going to be on this team for the rest of the year. And same with Tim Dillard. I think when Estrada comes back, it's either going to be Estrada or Michael Fiers probably shifting into another long reliever in the bullpen. So, I mean, out of those guys you mentioned, I really only think one is a permanent solution in the bullpen.
Well, and another guy we haven't mentioned yet is Juan Perez, who may very well be off the roster by the time we finish the show today.
That noise, I think, had everything you needed to know about Juan Perez.
A couple quick comments, too. What is the contract status of Alex Gonzalez for next year?
Gonzalez has a club option for next year. It would have been a vesting option if he had made 525 plate appearances this year, but he's not going to get there unless he heals miraculously right now and bats lead off the rest of the year. So he could be back. The organization will have the opportunity to, and he may turn out to be their best option, but they don't have to at this point.
And real quick, it's nice to see Renicki's, I think it's his son, and Hannigan both coming to the Timber Rattlers.
Yep. Yeah, Lance Renicki, his son's going to be in the outfield, and then Hannigan, the other guy, he's going to join the team. So, you know, the Timber Rattlers, I think John DeJean, Seth Harvey, and
Jason Rogers.
And Jason Rogers were the three that got moved up. So a team that really exceeded expectations, won the West Division in the Midwest League in the first half. You assume there's going to be a little turnover, but not as much as I think people anticipated, which, you know, will keep things interesting over at Fox City Stadium for another half of a year.
Boy, this Timber Rattlers team has a chance to be really good again in the second half. Yep. Because like you said, there were guys on this team that I think we were treating it as almost a given that we're going to move up at midseason, did not move up. So there's a lot of special talent here still, and a lot of guys who really have the potential to repeat what they were able to do in the first half.
And I'm not shy to bring this up. I'll flat out say it. I think it was media day when we saw the roster going on. There was a lot of scratching the heads, and I think the number was thrown out there, 2.5 guys that have potential of making the big league club. And
I think I might have taken the under on that.
I think, yeah, and I think the under might have been taken by Kyle, but it just goes to show you at this level specifically in a big league club, you really don't know. You have to play level by level by level to find out what you really have. That's why a Tyler Thornburg isn't going to make a full-time jump from Double A all the way to the big leagues like a lot of people thought the call-up was going to be. It was a spot start. They had nobody else to throw in that spot. So he goes back to Triple A where he needs to be. I mean, that's baseball right there. 281-1570 or 866-653-1570. It's funny with Alex Gonzalez. Next year at shortstop, Gonzalez, I mean, or I don't know why I have this, but I have visions of the starting shortstop next year coming to this team at the trade deadline.
I think that's entirely possible. I think if you're looking at the possibilities for trading guys away, and Zach Greinke is certainly the best option, but there are others as well, I think the first item on the Brewers' wish list has to be shoring up that position for the long term. Because the top shortstop prospect anywhere in the organization right now may very well be Yadiel Rivera, who's right here with
Yadiel
the Timber Rattlers.
Yeah.
Depending on how you feel about Jeff Bianchi, but there's really not a guy that's waiting in the wings to definitely be a major league shortstop. There are an awful lot of guys who have the potential to be something, but even those guys are a long time away. So if you could find a shortstop who could fill the gap for 3 or 4 years, you could really do a lot to help the organization.
281-1570 or 866-653-1570 if you would like to hop aboard. One other thing from this week, too. We'll get to the Jim Capel, Miller Park thing in a little bit here because that's something we were talking about for the last, you know, for I guess 15 minutes leading into coming on today. But CBS Sports had the article earlier this week, and I've been up and down with Mark Adonasio as a manager, and I guess you can say it's kind of fair weather when it comes to him. I thought, you know, the move to bring in Jeff Suppan was kind of his doing. And if you play fantasy baseball with your team, you're going to run into trouble. He kind of spearheaded the Ned Yost firing as well. And then it seemed like he was laying back a little bit and letting Doug Melvin make baseball decisions. But not sure if you saw this or not, but there was the report that it's strongly believed in baseball circles, in the general manager circles, that Adonasio is going to be the one that decides whether or not this team is a buyer or a seller.
Well, I think at the end of the day, that makes a little bit of sense. I mean, I understand.
Doesn't it worry you that you have owner playing fantasy baseball, or am I maybe looking
I'm
at
fine
things
with that.
Too much?
I'm fine with him making the final call. It's his money. He decides whether it's worth it or not.
But if the Brewers are 10 games out, and Adonasio will go, look, the Cardinals were 10.5 games out last year and ended up getting in, isn't that not doing what's in the best interest of the pro? I mean, as an owner, you hire baseball people to make baseball decisions. And this is, and I've fought this my entire life. I've been so pessimistic. I've tried to be optimistic. Here's the pessimist side of me looking ahead to next year and the year after already and being completely worried with what is going on there, that if they don't trade Zach Greinke and they don't re-sign him this offseason, it could be 3-4 years before this team is any good again.
But I think there's a line worth drawing here, and maybe one that you're missing a little bit, because I think you are painting a picture of Adonasio that looks a lot like Jerry Jones, where he is running his front office, he is making the decisions. I think the reality with Adonasio is that he will make the final call, but he will do it with the advice of his baseball people.
I hope
he's not going to be out on the free agent market or anything himself.
I don't think he is going to say, no, you cannot sell. I think he will solicit input, and then he'll make the final call.
But
and
if,
like JP
said,
there's $100 million of his money on the line here, so I understand him not wanting to sell the season if he thinks it's going to cost him money.
That's true, but you hire people to make those decisions for you. If the Brewers are 10 games out and he nixes a trade for Zach Greinke because he feels like this team can still be in it and Zach Greinke goes away, isn't it Doug Melvin's job to say, look, hey, we're doing this because we want to have 3 million fans next year and the year after. We don't want this team to plummet out to a 70-win team where Miller Park looks like County Stadium on a Tuesday night in 1997?
I would have to see Adonazio veto a trade like that to believe that could actually happen. I think that if Melvin can make the case to present it to Adonazio that trading Greinke is for the best for this organization for the long term, I think he'll approve it. But I do I think it's good to have an owner that cares that much, that he's not just going to sit back and let a general manager take the team in the wrong direction if he doesn't think it's right. He's going to be involved. He's going to need to be sold on it before it can be made. At the end of the day, having Adonazio as kind of the, you know, CEO slash chief fan might be a great thing for this team, because the front office needs to come through and convince an outsider that this needs to happen before it can actually happen.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to make the final call, because when we're sitting there in July, it literally comes down to dollars and cents for him, where it's, all right, is it actually worth it to try and make it and try and put in this extra money, not only for this year, but then it's, you figure out what the money's going to do in previous years. So I think it is his call. I think it's absolutely his call.
If the Brewers let Zach Greinke walk next year, do you see them in a position where they can compete next year? This is what I'm doing radio.
Why are you
my question on you?
June 22nd. My goodness. Sitting here, if the Brewers are 10 games out, if they lose Greinke,
it's a month from now. And the funny thing is, you know, we talked about this a month ago, and it was
Sunday.
And guess it could be Sunday. But it's, I mean, we talked about this a month ago, where it was like, okay, it's kind of the same position, same position, same position. The team is in the same position with how they're playing. The problem is we're seeing the Cincinnati Reds separate themselves from everybody else in the division. So as the season goes later and those games that you're back spreads out and less teams that you got to go up on. But back to my original question as the counter deflection came. But if Greinke walks next year, do you see a scenario where they can be, or you know, where you're confident that they're going to be competitive?
It'd be a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if they bring back Sean Markham in the short term, I think that probably helps a little bit. I think they can fill a spot in the rotation. They'd miss Greinke for sure, the same way they miss Prince Fielder this year. But this team could contend without Greinke. It certainly gets a lot easier if he stays, or if you get pieces that could help you compete in the long run for him. The Brewers would get two draft picks if he leaves, most likely, so it's not like they'd be left completely empty-handed.
There's hope 5 years from now.
Well, right. They're not going
assuming
to get guys.
Assuming you find a Zach Greinke in the draft with those draft picks.
Hopefully you have a Tyler Thornburg or, you know, one of these guys coming through the system, Bradley and Youngman, that can, you know, develop into one of those guys.
But, I mean, that's if you're looking at a Greinke trade, that's at least the minimum value the Brewers would have to get to avoid having the trade be a total loss. You know, you're going to get two guys to put in the minor league system either way. You'd hopefully get guys who are a little farther up the ladder and maybe a little closer to helping you in the short term.
See, I would take throwing it out there, I would take a chance like the Indians, what they got for, you know, Sabathia. I would take a chance on a Matt LaPorta, who's a top prospect, a Michael Brantley, who's a solid prospect, and an arm in Zach Jackson, who I think was even just a throw-in in that deal. I'd take that over the compensation you got in two draft picks for CC Sabathia, especially on a losing team. If the Brewers, if they go on a winning streak and they're in this whole thing, that whole point becomes mute. If they're at the trade deadline within striking distance of Cincinnati, you got to go for it.
But look at how that worked out for the Indians. LaPorta still can't get it.
But I would take that shot because it's a better shot that a top level prospect is going to make it than a guy that still has to go through four you know, stops.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at Kansas City with what they got in Odorizzi and Kane and Escobar, who's playing every day for them. So,
Kane would be playing every day if he wasn't hurt.
Right, but that was when the Brewers traded Kane. They knew they had one healthy season of him in the last three. They knew that Escobar's bat might not play in the big leagues. They knew Odorizzi was a long ways away. They knew that Jeremy Jeffress had some issues, which have remanifested, and now he's still not in the big leagues. When you make a trade like that, you put yourself in a position where you can build to compete for a very long time, but you also put yourself in a position where the guys you get might be Jamie Wright and Jimmy Haynes.
We had a Jeremy Jeffress reference. I had to.
back to your question, though.
I missed it. Now I've got this going on, and I got this going on, and this going on.
There we go.
You want to give us a soccer update, JP?
That's all it is. That's all I need to know.
Germany won. Greece nothing.
Up 1-0.
There you go.
It's gonna start rolling in, I have a feeling.
281-1570. Oh, we had beautiful. A call, but that craziness, I think, scared him away. We're going to step out real quick. We'll come back. More talking Brewers. Kyle Loebner of Brew Crew Ball is going to join us for the hour here. We got J.P. Kedoran from Sports 32 sitting in all show long today.